This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Number four, as we talk about the subject of temptation, Matthew chapter number four outlines the time in the life of Jesus Christ where he inaugurated his ministry. And in the midst of walking with God at the peak of his ministry of obedience unto the Lord, you're going to find that the devil comes knocking and tempts the Lord. And we find this entire story found in Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1 down to verse number 11. So when you're there, say amen. All right, Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 1. This is a great, great story. The words are very plain, but the message is very profound. So I want you to look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil take them up to the holy city, and sets them on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. I want you to be seated. This morning, I just want to talk about this subject, simply overcoming temptation. Overcoming temptation. Now, I don't know what you're going through in your spiritual walk with God right now, but I do know this. If you are on the front lines of the battle for the good and the right, you're going to find that the devil is going to come knocking and try to tempt you. Anytime you try to do anything good for God, I want you to know the devil's going to react by following up with a series of temptations to get us off the path of obeying the Lord. Jesus was no exception to that. This morning we're going to learn some great truths that's going to help you to understand temptation, how you can combat it, and how you can get victory over it. So let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us and guide us and direct us here this morning as we talk about something that affects all of us, temptation. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you would help us today to look into your word, and Lord, help us to gain victory over temptation. Lord, temptation comes in many different forms. Some are tempted, Lord, with pride. Others are tempted with pornography. There are those that are tempted with a bad attitude. Lord, there are others, Lord, that are tempted in some other area. Lord, you know the temptations that we face. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us to overcome them and give us, Lord, some tools this morning that we can apply to our heart and our life that we may not sin against you, Lord, and have some way to combat the darkness that comes up against us. We love you, Jesus. We are thankful for the life that you laid down on our behalf to give us victory over temptation. So we pray that you would help us to discern your word, and we will thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. Now, I'm sure that all of us in this room have had times of temptation when it's come knocking at the door of your integrity, trying to keep you off the path of doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Some people have learned to keep the door shut. When temptation comes knocking, they've learned to lock the door. They have learned to keep the devil out. They have learned to overcome this. But for others, they have opened up the door and they cause a world of problems to come ushering into their life. Now, whatever temptation that you're going through, you need to know this, that even Jesus himself contended with temptation. Temptation in and of itself is not a sin. It's when you yield to that temptation and you bring sin into the actions of life that there it becomes a sin. You need to know this also. There are countless of people that have felt the same pressure and pull that you're going through. A lot of times people feel that when it comes to temptation, they're the only ones that is going through this. Why doesn't a God attack this side of the church? Why is he only attacking that side of the church? And sometimes you feel isolated and you feel like you're the only person that's ever experienced all this pressure and all this pull. But you need to know that down through human history, some of God's greatest champions not only experienced temptation, but they actually yielded to the power of temptation. Nobody is exempt. You look through the Bible, you find a man by the name of Noah. And Noah yielded to temptation and he became drunk. We read about Abraham's lying and his cowardness. We read about Moses' pride that kept him from going into the promised land. We read about Jacob's deceptiveness. Or how about the patriarch's mistreatment of their brother, Joseph? We read about Elijah's murmuring, David's sin and his murder and adultery, Jonah's rebellious spirit, Peter's denial, John Mark's defection, and then even the strife between Paul and Barnabas. Some of God's greatest men, some of God's greatest champions, standing for the right, trying to do the will of God, they not only experienced temptation, but unfortunately, they yielded to the power thereof. And so you need to know this morning, you stand in good company when it comes to temptation. There is nobody that is exempt. We need to remember this morning that temptation has no barriers and temptation has no limits. There is no favorites when it comes to temptation. Temptation can attack the President of the United States. It can attack the pastor of this church and churches within this country. It can attack a prison inmate or even the parents in a home. You'll find that temptation can attack the seminarian in his studies. It can crawl over the wall of the church and assault the leaders and attack the volunteers and the members of the church. It can ruin a businessman and it can corrupt the employees of that business. Temptation will work very hard, trying to intimidate you and aggravate you and to cause you to sin against the Lord. If you don't believe that, just look at Matthew chapter number 4 and consider the life of Jesus Christ. This morning, I want you to look at Matthew chapter number 4, and I want you to see that it's incredible how Jesus' ministry was introduced to the world. If I was in charge of logistics and you were in charge of logistics of launching the ministry of Jesus, just think about what you would do. Think about how you would introduce the Son of God to the entire world. Think about how you would introduce this healing ministry and this preaching ministry. Think about how you would announce the ministry of Jesus. Well, if I was in charge of logistics, or perhaps you were in charge of logistics and launching the ministry of Jesus, we would want Jesus sitting on a throne. And how about angels holding up that throne and walking down the streets? How about gathering the religious crowd to cheer him on as he walks down the streets of Jerusalem? How about honoring him in a royal parade down Jerusalem's main street? This is how we would probably inaugurate the ministry of Jesus. We would try to do something to launch it in a big way. We'd have some type of big campaign. But when you read the Bible, that's not how it happened with Jesus. To our surprise, all four gospel writers tell us something about the launch of Jesus' ministry. Number one, all of them tell us that he was baptized by John in the river of Jordan. Jesus begins his ministry by walking in obedience to God the Father, and he is baptized in obedience to God the Father in the river of Jordan. Immediately following that wonderful experience, the Bible says there is a voice that is heard from heaven. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." After Jesus is baptized in the river of Jordan, after God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," the Spirit of God causes Jesus and leads him up into a wilderness, an isolated place. And there he fasts and he prays for 40 days. Think about this now. He's baptized in the river. there's a voice heard from heaven. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And now he's in the wilderness for 40 days. And while he is there fasting and praying about the ministry that's getting ready to launch over the next 3.5 years, while he's in the will of God, while he's doing the work of God, while he's in communion with his Father, temptation comes knocking at the door of Jesus. Here's what I want you to see from Matthew chapter 4, and this is so important. Jesus is at the peak of walking with God. And as he is at the peak of walking with God, he is faced with temptation. You need to know this morning, there is nobody in this room that's immune from temptation. It doesn't matter if you're a seminarian. It doesn't matter if you're a deacon, an ordained individual within the church. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized or you've been a member here for a very long time or you've been saved for a lot of years. There is nobody that is immune from the power of temptation. You are never too old to be tempted, nor are you ever too young to be tempted. You're never too good to be tempted. You are never too strong to be tempted. You are never too spiritual to be tempted. You may have a Bible degree, you may have gone to seminary, you may have been a member of this church, you may be serving in the local church. You are never too spiritual to be tempted by the power of the devil. If Jesus was tempted while spending time with God, then you and I ought to expect that we're going to be tempted also. If Jesus was tempted while he's doing the will of God and he's engaged in the work of God, then you need to know today, you're going to be tempted. There's nowhere that you can run from its power. There's nowhere you can't escape from its pull. You're going to have to confront temptation each and every day of your life. So let's track this story, all right? Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1 to verse number 11. The story is given to us in just a few words. As a matter of fact, in your King James Bible, it is 229 words from verse 1 to verse number 11. The language is very, very simple. It's very plain language. But the message found in Matthew 4 is very profound. It speaks to me today, and it ought to speak to you today. It reminds us and illustrates the words of Peter, who wrote later in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation." Aren't you glad for that this morning? Aren't you glad that our God knows how to deliver us? We don't have to be defeated. We can be delivered from the power of temptation. We don't have to yield over and over again. We've got somebody on the inside of us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't have to be devoured. I don't have to be doomed and damned to temptation. I can be delivered by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so can you. And this is what Peter is saying. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Matthew's going to show us, all of us together, all of us here, that we don't have to be defeated, and he's going to illustrate that through this scenario or the story of the life of Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to see. Just as Jesus was able to overcome temptation, you can too. And Jesus overcame temptation with the power of the spoken word of God. And you need the word of God today. You need the word of God in your heart. You need the word of God in your home. You need to make it a habit of reading the word of God. This is how Jesus combated the devil. He combated him and overcame him through the power of the word of God. And so I want you to track this with me. If you're taking notes, let's start with point number one. Let's talk about the disposition of temptation. That is the nature of temptation. What does it look like and how does it come upon us? Now, the first thing that you need to know, and I said this already in the introduction, the first thing I want you to know is that temptation in and of itself, it is not a sin. A lot of people think because they're being tempted that it's a sin. Well, if that's the case, then Jesus is a sinner. And we don't have a spotless, sinless Lamb of God. Temptation is not a sin. It's when you yield to that sin. It's when you are enticed and your lust is drawn in that you yield to that temptation and you bring sin through the actions of life. Therefore, it becomes a sin. So I want you to know this. If you're being tempted today and you are winning the victory over that by saying no, I've told my kids before, the most powerful word in the human language is no. You're able to say no to temptation and yes to God. The temptation is not a sin, but as soon as you yield to it and you bring it through the actions of life, letting it permeate your mind, letting it permeate your heart and your soul, letting it affect you in such a way that you're carrying it out with the actions of life, then it is a sin. So if you're in the battle today and you're in that stage where you're saying no, keep up the fight. Yield to God. Read the word of God. Say no to the devil and yes to the Lord. If you believe it, say amen. Here's what I want you to see this morning. There are two types of temptations. And this may surprise you. One comes from the Lord and the other comes from the devil. We would talk about it this way. One, the first type of temptation is the testing by the Lord. The testing by the Lord. Now, James writes about this testing, and he uses the word tempted. What James tells us is that God does not solicit evil. He doesn't cause us to sin. He doesn't cause us to do evil. The word tempt that James uses is talking more about a test to bring about the fortitude of our spiritual maturity. This is what he says in James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. If you are sinning, the sin does not come from the Lord. God's not going to cause you to stumble into pornography. God's not going to cause you to be prideful. God's not going to cause you to have a negative attitude. God's not going to cause you to commit adultery. God does not solicit evil. But the Bible does say, neither tempt he any man. What God does in my life, in your life, is God tempts us, and the word tempt there can be used as the word test or a trial in my life. God allows trials and testings to come into my life to form my character. He allows these testings to come into my life to help me to be the man that God's called me to be. So when we talk about temptation, we can say, one, there is the testing of the Lord, but two, there is the tempting of the devil. And if we were to look at these two, the testing of the Lord and the tempting of the devil, there's a big difference between both of them. Number one, testing is sent by God to cause us to stand. God's causing us to stand, that is, in maturity and in faith and in honor, helping us to have the resolve to do the right thing. But when temptation to sin is given, well, that's coming from the devil, causing us to stumble. God's test causes us to stand. Satan's temptation causes us to stumble. We could break it down even further, make it even easier. We could say testing is meant for our maturity, but tempting is meant for our misery. And you need to note those two things. Testing is meant for your maturity, but temptation that comes from the devil, it is meant for our misery, to get us off track and out of balance, out of the will of God. Now here's what I want you to look at this morning. I want you to look at the text in Matthew chapter number 4, and I want you to see the disposition of these attacks on Jesus. What did that temptation look like? Number one, the temptation was personal. The temptation was personal. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, Jesus uses the word of God, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The temptation was personal. It was personal because it satisfied an immediate need for Jesus. Jesus had been in the wilderness now. He's there for 40 days. He's fasting and he is praying. He is seeking the will of God in obedience to the Father for his life and ministry over the next 3.5 years. And while he is there, he is hungry. This is a personal need of Jesus. He's hungry. So what's the harm? What is the harm in taking some stones and making them into bread? I want you to track this with me, all right? Here's what I want you to know. The Spirit of God is the one that led him into the wilderness to fast 40 days and 40 nights and pray. He was baptized by John in the river of Jordan, and now the Spirit of God has led him up there to commune with his Father, and he is hungry while he is there. Not only is he hungry, since it's been 40 days, he is weak, and he is vulnerable. He's undernourished. And when Jesus was weak, and when he's undernourished, and when he is vulnerable, that's when the devil came knocking. I want you to know, friend, when you are spiritually weak and you become vulnerable, that is, sometimes a tragedy may come into your life, or a sickness come into your life, or some type of crisis, and you become vulnerable where you let your guard down and you're thinking about your personal needs and what you need and what you desire. I want you to know, when you are weak and when you are vulnerable and you are spiritually undernourished, that's when the devil will come and make his move. He is very wise. He has studied humanity for many, many years, and he knows where your Achilles' heel is. He knows how to attack you. And what we find in the text is that Satan waited until Christ was most vulnerable before he initiates not just one temptation, but a series of temptation. And Matthew records this for us to show us two things. Number one, Satan's relentless assaults. You may get over one temptation and win the victory, but buckle in, another one's on its way. It just wasn't one attack, it was a series of attacks. And the Bible's going to tell us that even after these attacks, that the devil leaves him, the other texts say, the other gospel says the devil leaves him for a little while. The entire lifespan of Jesus Christ, he is dealing and battling a spiritual battle. And every one of us in here need to know, you are engaged in a spiritual battle. You may win the victory by saying no today, but you need to know this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow, there's a series of attacks. The devil is relentless in spiritual attacks. Just because you said no today doesn't mean that he's going to stop and he's ran off scared somewhere. He will try again and again and again. That's why it's important for you to bury your nose in the pages of the Word of God. That's why it's important for you to pray and stay close to the Lord, because you can't fight this battle by yourself. You need the Lord. If you believe it, say amen. Not only was Satan relentless, but Matthew's showing us Christ's firm resistance with the Word of God as his weapon. The very thing that Jesus used is the very thing that we need to use. That is the weapon of the Word of God. That's why it's important for you to memorize scripture. When the devil comes knocking, quote the Bible to him. When you are being tempted and swayed to go this way or that way, begin quoting scripture. It puts the devil in the phone booth and he's dialing 911 looking for some help, because you are using the Word of God. The most powerful weapon that God has given us is the Word of God. In conjunction with prayer, it puts the devil on the run. Someone say amen. And so Matthew's giving us a story in all the gospel writers to show Satan is relentless. Number two, Christ had a resolve that the way he was going to battle temptation was through the Word of God. So here's what we look at. The first one's personal. You're the creator. Why not show off your strength and just turn these stones into bread? Well, nobody can do what you do. Well, you're the Son of God, the devil's saying. Why not just go ahead and satisfy this personal need and turn the stone into bread? Jesus didn't come to establish a food bank. He came to die for the sins of man. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And here's what you need to note from the text. Here's a great observation for us to pause for a few moments and consider what's happening in the story. Christ was not tempted in the area of his weakness. He is tempted in the area of his strength. Who else could create like him? He's the creator and he is the sustainer. The devil is zeroing in on his strength. While he says, here's some stones, you're the creator, you're hungry, why not meet this personal need? Nobody else can do what you do. Why don't you go ahead and just satisfy your own desire and turn these stones into bread? Satan is tempting Jesus in the area of his strength. And I came across a great quote that was in a book entitled Getting Through the Tough Stuff from Dr. Charles Swindoll. And he quotes one man, and I believe it was Barclay that had actually said this in his commentary, and Swindoll uses it, but this is what he said. Listen to this. I don't think I have it on the screen. Listen to what he says. We must always remember that again and again that we are tempted through our gifts. The person who is gifted with charm will be tempted to use charm to get away with anything. The person who is gifted with power of words will be tempted to use his command of words to produce excuses to justify his own conduct. The person with a vivid and sensitive imagination will undergo agonies of temptation that a more stoic person will never experience. The person with great gifts of mind will be tempted to use those gifts for himself and not for others, to become the master and not the servant of men. It is a grim fact of temptation. Listen to this. It is the grim fact of temptation that it is just where we are strongest that we must be forever on the watch. Jesus saw right through the devil's lies. And in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And he answered and said, it is written." The devil's trying to do a personal attack. He's zeroing in on the strength of Jesus, not the weakness of Jesus. And in the midst of that, the only way that Jesus could combat the devil is by using the word of God. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You need to know this morning that God has gifted all of us with inner abilities. God has given us all abilities, and many of those abilities he's given us, we're very strong at. God has not called us to take stones and turn them into bread. God has called us to take stones and turn them into opportunities of glorifying him. And so you are to use your strength, and you are to use your giftedness. You are to use those abilities to magnify the name of Jesus. You are not to squander them away for personal use. You are to give them away in honor and glory to Christ. That's why he gave them to us. Somebody say amen. And so the attack was personal, a time when he is vulnerable. Second of all, the temptation was prideful. Look at verse 5 and verse 7. "Then the devil takes him up into a holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Here Satan is presumptuously pressing Jesus for a public display of his power. He is presuming on the power of God. And I want you to know the sin of presumption pervades within our churches many ways. We presume on the will of God. We presume on the power of God. Basically, what Satan was wanting, he said, listen, let's just have a little sensationalism. If we have sensationalism, then everything's going to change. Well, as a matter of fact, if we put on a big old show, it will wow the crowd. Sensationalism always wows the crowd. You won't have to go to Calvary. A news will travel very fast because nobody can do what you can do. You're the only one that can do it. People will love it, so just jump. And let's wow the masses. You know, we could do a lot of things to get a crowd in here. We could wow the masses. We could have all sorts of sensationalism. But I want you to know it wasn't sensationalism that was going to save the masses. It was the suffering of Christ that he had to endure. And what the devil wanted to do was he said, hey, let's have a little sensationalism around here and we'll draw a crowd and let's forego the suffering. I want you to know, friend, in the Christian life, there is a suffering that we must endure. If we're going to live godly, we will face tribulation. If we live godly, we will suffer persecution. There is a suffering that God calls us to, that we are not of this world. We may be living in this world, but we are not of this world. We are pilgrims and strangers passing through. Hey, I want you to know heaven is your home. Somebody say amen. And there is a life of suffering that God has called us to. Again, using the scripture as a weapon, Jesus avoided committing the sin of presumption. In verse 7, the Bible says, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And so the temptation was personal. The temptation was prideful. And then in verses 8 to verse 11, the temptation is prestigious. Look at verse 8. "Again, the devil takes him up into a high exceeding mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and said unto him, all these things will I give thee." This will be very prestigious for you. "I'll give you the kingdoms of the world verse 9, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You see, each temptation was given to divert Christ's attention. And every temptation that you go through, it is given to divert your attention, to keep you off track from doing the will of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus again uses a scripture. Verse number 10, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so you need to see the disposition, the nature of temptation. It comes in a series, and it has a pattern to it. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are the three tricks that Satan uses each and every time in my life and your life. He's got three tricks in his bag. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he zeroes in on us in a personal way. He zeroes in on us trying to arouse the pride, the sinful pride within our heart. And he tries making us think that we're in control, being prestigious and powerful. And he tries to get us off track from doing the will of God. And the only thing that I can do to push back the darkness and keep the devil off my back is to use the word of God in my heart and in my life to combat the darkness that tries to come over against us. So the disposition of temptation. Let's talk about number two. How about the defense of temptation? Now, temptation is not only a crossroad that Jesus faced and other great champions in the Bible. It's one that you and I are going to face also. Dr. Charles Stanley has a great quote. He said, God promises to provide a way of escape for every form of temptation so we are able to bear it. Aren't you glad for that? God never promises to remove temptation from our lives. Rather, he gives us the power to resist temptation, endure temptation, and overcome temptation. Listen to him again. He gives us the power to resist temptation, endure it, and overcome it. You say, Brother David, is there ever going to be a time in this life that God will remove temptation from me? Never. It is something that you will deal with on your spiritual journey all the way to the grave. The only time that you will be delivered from temptation is when you are in the very presence of God. So every day in my life, every day in your life, this is something that you're going to have to deal with. And it makes a big difference. It either keeps you on track or it gets you off track. It keeps you in the game or it sets you on the bench. You need to learn how to have a defense against temptation. So I want you to write these down. Number one, here is the way you combat temptation. Number one, don't be alarmed, expect it. Don't be alarmed, expect it. Now, if temptation came to the Son of God, who am I to be exempt from it? And who are you to be immune from it? If the devil tempted Jesus, he's going to tempt you and I. So don't be alarmed. Expect it. The devil's going to come knocking. How do we know? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You need to know that Paul is telling us this is the devil's desire. To get an advantage over you, to ruin your marriage, to disrupt your family, to corrupt your business, to do all that he can through temptation to get you off track. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. What you're going through, it's common to somebody else. It is common to man. What you've experienced, I have experienced. What this college student has experienced, another has experienced. Temptation is common to all of us. There's a commonality of it. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Listen to this. But God is faithful. Somebody needs to say amen right there. It's a common experience. But aren't you glad that God is faithful? In what way is God faithful? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That is, there's a way out of this temptation. There's a way that you can escape the pull and the push and the pressure of temptation. It is by yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit of God and asking God to take his word and hide it into your heart that you might not sin against the Lord. Don't be alarmed. You need to expect it. Temptation is coming. But God is faithful. Number two, don't be blind. Detect it. Don't be blind. Detect it. you need to look around at your life and examine your life right now. Don't be blind that this is the devil working. This is the devil trying to make something happen. This is the devil swaying you. This is the devil speaking to you. This bad relationship, this place that you're going, whatever it may be, don't be blind to what's going on in your world. You need to actively see the hand of God moving you here and moving you there. Don't be blind to the spiritual attacks. You need to learn to detect them. How do I do that? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, says, flee fornication. Don't dabble with adultery. Don't dabble with pornography. Don't dabble with fornication. The Bible says you flee. The word flee here is a word for a person who is like a refugee running away. A person who is doing their very best to run away from one spot to get to another to find shelter and safety. You are to flee fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Listen to this, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. These things are the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. I am not to hold on to the things of this world. I am to run away from things that are tempting me to do wrong. And I am to run after righteousness and goodness and godliness and faith and all of these things. I not only am I to not be alarmed and expect it to happen. I don't need to be blind to the devil. I need to detect it. So I need to expect it. I need to detect it. And don't be clever, just reject it. These are the three things that you need to do for a defense against temptation. Expect it to happen. You need to be able not only to expect it, but you need to detect it, that this is happening to me. I'm being swayed by the devil. And then by the grace of God, you need to reject it. James says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The disposition of temptation is personal, prideful, and can even be prestigious to get our way ahead of the ways of God. We see a defense against temptation, but I want to zero in on 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, and I want to talk about, last of all, the deliverer of temptation. How do I find deliverance? Oh, I know. I need to be baptized. I need to join a church. Maybe I'll sing in the choir. Maybe I'll be more faithful. I'll do this and I'll do that. I want you to know there's only one person that's able to deliver you from temptation, and that is God Himself. And I want you to notice this. You may be going through all sorts of pressure and pain right now. You're being tempted to do the wrong thing. Maybe there's somebody that's texting you, trying to pull you away from your marriage. Somebody that's in your instant message box, trying to get you to meet them here or meet them there and pull you away from the will of God and the ways of God. Maybe you've got something prideful going on in your heart. Maybe your business is corrupt because you've got pride in your heart and you won't do the right thing, and you're trying to cheat on your taxes and cheat the government, and you're cheating your employees. There's something happening, and you know that this is a vicious cycle. One bad decision after another bad decision has left your life in a whirlwind, and you are needing some help. I want you to know, friend, I can pray for you. This church can pray for you. And it's great to come to the altar and pray, but you need to do more than all of that. You need to connect with God Almighty. Somebody say amen. He's the one that will deliver you. The Bible says, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. Are you hearing me today? You're being pulled into a whirlwind of chaos, and you don't know what to do. You're wondering where you're going to turn and how you're going to cope. God is faithful. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been or what's happened in your life. God is faithful. God will help turn the situation around. God will help you to combat the darkness. God will help you to prevail. The Bible says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with that temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. There's two sides of that coin there. There's a certain type of trial and test that God may put me through. Now remember, God doesn't solicit us with evil. Someone say amen. God's not asking me to sin. He's not going to tempt me with sin. But there are spiritual tests in my life. And there are things that God's trying to do to fortify my character, to help me to be the person he's called me to be. And in those times of testing from God, in those times of trouble that I feel like that I'm in, that the pressure is on and I'm on the anvil and God's pounding away at me, God says, I know how much pressure to put on. I've made a way of escape, and I'm going to help you to be able to bear it. Not only is that principle true in the testings of life, but also in the temptations of life, that God sees where we're at. God puts a hedge of protection around us, and God keeps us close to his throne. It's because he's walked a mile in my shoes. He knows exactly what I'm made of, while he himself was tempted. And so instead of sitting here today being miserable that you're being tempted and you're going through a series of temptations and you're feeling sorry for yourself and you feel like there's no way to escape, you need to know that God is not just up there high and lifted up on a throne and cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the pressure. He knows the pull. He understands you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, in verse 15 and 16 of Hebrews 4, listen to this. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but when all points tempted like as we are. Is that not incredible? In all points. In all points. What are those points? John tells us it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These three tricks that Satan is always trying to get our attention with. The lust of the flesh. I just have to have it. And so we commit adultery. We use drugs. We engage in alcoholic beverages. We want to feed that flesh. We desire to have it, even if it means sinning against God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and then the pride of life. The Bible says even Christ himself was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Watch this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm going to ask our invitation team to go ahead and get ready, and we're going to have a time of invitation, and just maybe today you're going through some type of terrible temptation. You've tried, but you keep failing over and over and over again. It may be you're trying hard, but you're trying in all the wrong ways. You're looking at the self-help books on the internet. Maybe you're looking to Barnes & Noble, or you're searching in on Google, how do I overcome temptation? I want you to know the story of Matthew chapter 4, the language is so plain, but the message is so profound. Because it meets me right where I live, and it meets you right where you live. That every day that we're faced with some type of temptation, Lord, how can I break the cycle? I don't want to be this person. I don't want to become this type of individual. I don't want to do this in the dark no more. I don't want to be that type of individual. God, can you help me? The Bible says, again in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I'm glad that that says the throne of grace. Doesn't say the throne of rejection, the throne of wrath, the throne of criticism. It's the throne of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Today you can come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I have messed up again. Lord, my life, I didn't keep the door shut. I didn't keep the windows locked. Temptation came knocking on the door of my integrity, and I opened up the door, and I let a world of problems come into my life. Lord, can you forgive me? I want you to know on the authority of the Word of God, yes, he will. But you need to come today. You come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's your help. It's not the internet. It's not the greatest, the best book at Barnes & Noble. Your help is found in the person of Jesus Christ. You come to Him today and He will change your life from the inside out. You come to Him today boldly, that is, believing that He is the answer to your sin problem. You come boldly, that is, believing that the temptation that has come over you time and time again, you can have victory and you can have help when you yield yourself to Jesus Christ. All friend, know this today, He loves you. Will you come to Him and lay your burdens down?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.